Well, welcome to Vintage Church North. If you are new with us today, we want to just say a special welcome and thank you for joining us. I know in some ways when it's like 30 degrees out and it's raining, you know, you could have just said, let's go get a biscuit. Yeah. That's a long walk. You know, if you don't have an umbrella, and I saw some of you, y'all trekked through here. I am glad that you have joined us. The beginning of this year for our church, we're looking at covenant. The idea of covenant we started last week is something that God introduces to his people is the way he relates to us. And we talked about last week that covenant has both this loving dimension, this personal dimension, where it's a promise. Hey, God was saying, I want to enter into this personal loving relationship with you. And there's also this like legal dimension to it. It's more than just personal. And it's more than just the contract. It's not just legal. It's personal. It's this amazing thing that God enters into with his people. And today we're going to look at God entering into this covenant that he makes with Abram. You might know him as Abraham. Abram's name is changed a little bit later in Genesis because God like remakes his covenant with Abram several times. And there's one time where he says, hey, I'm just going to even change your name. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And that's what his name Abraham means, is the father of many nations. God enters into this man's life and he says, I'm going to make covenant with you. And it's amazing. One line that just stands out to me from this reading is as God was doing this, Abraham believed God. The text tells us he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And what I want to offer every single person in this room today is God's coming to you and he wants to remind you of his covenant relationship that he offers to you. And a covenant relationship, this relationship that he wants to enter into with you, is always slightly unbelievable. It does more for our hearts than we can imagine. You know, some of us in this room, we walk in shame a lot. Some of us walk in anxieties a lot. Some of us want to control every single thing that we touch because we're afraid. To the person that deals with shame, the person that deals with fear, the person that your anxieties kind of rule you today, that's probably one of us in this room. What God's offering you today in terms of his relationship is unbelievable. And he is offering you today saying, I love you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's more than what we can imagine. And I want to invite you to believe again, God. This question kind of just stuck with me personally this week was, Tanner, do you believe? Do you believe this covenant that God makes not just with Abraham, but with us? So this morning, I want to look at the story. I want to see how God gives this covenant to Abraham, and how does this apply to us? This man who lived thousands of years before Jesus, how does this resonate with each and every one of us? To do that, I need God's help. So let me ask God to help us this morning. Let's pray. God, you put Abraham in a deep sleep. And you yourself came down and made this covenant with him in a way that's bigger than what our wildest imaginations can imagine. God, I pray whatever you need to do with every person in this room to remind them of your great covenant in Jesus Christ towards them this day. I pray, would you just do it? Would you speak in this time? Would you open ears? Would you open eyes? Would you open our hearts so that we might see your great word, your promise, your faithfulness to us, namely in your Son, Jesus Christ? Holy Spirit, would you do this for your glory? It's in Jesus' name we make this prayer. Amen. So the story begins, if you know anything about the narrative of Abraham, it begins in this place called Ur, where Abraham has grown up. In chapter 12 of Genesis, it's the first time we see this guy named Abram. And I probably will slip between those names today. I'll probably try to just call him Abraham for the most part. But when you see it on the screen, Abram and Abraham are the same guy, okay? God shows up to Abraham. And in verse 1 through 3 of chapter 12, this is what Moses tells us happens between God and Abraham. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" I mean, what a promise. If God shows up and says, "Hey, here's the relationship I'm going to have with you." You probably heard the word that's most repeated in that phrase. It's a relationship of blessing. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you to the point where I bless you so much, you're going to become a blessing. You will just be my blessing on this earth so that the end, every single family on this earth will be blessed. God is going to use a people, a family, a son to spread his blessing to the ends of the earth. I mean, this is an amazing thing. You get three things that just stand out in this promise. One, I'll bless you. I'm going to bless you. God comes to him and says, "I will bless you." Why? He says, so that you too will be a blessing. And the final piece is, in you, all the families of the earth will or shall be blessed. I mean, that is an amazing covenant here. God is entering into this relationship and he's giving this promise to this man named Abram. And it's amazing. The story starts, Abraham goes. He leaves his family. He leaves his home. God is going to give him this land that he's talked about. And his story gets really kind of shaky. You know, for him to become a great nation, first what he's going to need is kids. Him and Sarah, they have no children of their own. They're 75 years old at this time. 75 years old, they have no kids. Now, when you're reading the beginning of the Bibles, just remember about age. Some people live a long time, okay? But they're 75, he hears this, he follows God. Man, he goes out on his own and he's following God. But he goes into Egypt, and in Egypt, he starts doubting God. He shows up in front of this powerful man, this king, Pharaoh, in Egypt, this king, and he lies about his wife. He says, you know, this is my sister because she's very beautiful. The man in power says, yeah, okay. Keep her around here, because he's lied about this relationship. Abraham has this kind of rocky path with how he believes this promise and how it's going to work out with God in him. Well, they get out of that situation. God gets him out of that situation. His wealth, his finances, his servants just kind of keep multiplying. He even, in the chapter right before this, we read chapter 15, and chapter 14, you see that he's like actually a great general of an army. I mean, he comes in, his brother Lot has been like taken hostage, and he comes in and like with 300 and some men and whips all these people that are trying to like enact war kind of on this area and steal these people in possessions. He saves them. This path is pretty interesting, but you know what he still does not have in chapter 15? His children. God said, hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. And Abraham's wondering, like, okay, God, like, I really like this, but where are my kids? And in chapter 15, Abraham is told by God, I love this line, fear not, Abraham, for I am your shield, your reward. You shall be very great. And you know what Abraham says? I don't have any kids. He's questioning God with the promise that God's given to him. And we have done this in our lives. God's given us a lot of promises. And a lot of times they don't look like they're being fulfilled. Abraham questions God. God brings him out on a starry night, and he says, look up at the stars. Try to count them. I mean, he really says in the Hebrew, try. There's a hint of like, there's no way you're going to be able to do it. This is how many kids you're going to have. Or heirs. And in verse 6, this is the line that we see that's famous. It's used throughout Romans and all over passages. But it says, he, Abram, believed the Lord, and he, God, counted it to him as righteousness. He believes God. He sees these stars. God has told him, this is my promise to you. You will have children. You will have a nation. This nation will be like these stars, as many as these stars. And Abraham believes God. Well, how does this relate to covenant? How does this relate to covenant? Well, the covenant that God gave included this promise. I'm going to make you into a great people. I will bless you. But we're going to see God speak in a way that's really Abraham would have really known. And for us, it's kind of a very confusing picture here. Let's read the next part. It's about to get really bloody. In verses 7 through 11 of chapter 15, and he said to him, which is God speaks to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, which is Abraham, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all these, cut them in half, and laid them each half over against the other. but he did not cut the birds in half. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. What is going on? Abram asked a question. God has just said, hey, you're going to have, look at the stars. These are going to be your descendants. Abraham believes. God goes in again to say, I'm going to give you this land. And again, Abram questions God, how do I know? He says, how do I know? And God says, bring these animals to me. And then Abraham cuts them in half. What is going on here? How do I know? Bring these animals. And then Abram just knows, cut them in half, lay them around. When the birds come, drive them away. What is happening? Well, God speaks to us in ways that we know. We understand. In the ancient Near East, kings made treaties, covenants with lesser kings. And you know what they did in these treaties? These more powerful kings would come to the servant king, the less powerful, or the vassal king. And the powerful king would be like, look, I offer you protection and safety. Like, I won't kill y'all. If you serve, kind of obey, and don't mess with what we've got going on here. And you know what they would do in these treaties? They would cut up animals, lay them in a row, and they would walk down the middle of it. It'd be a bloody mess. But you know what that was all symbolizing to these kings? If either side breaks this treaty, this covenant, what happens to the animals happens to you. Once God tells Abraham, go get animals, I think Abraham got nervous. Oh, goodness. Now we're entering into this type of relationship. Abraham knows he's the more powerful king. The covenant that now is going to be set up here in this passage is a powerful one. It is one that was like what these other kings would enter into people like Abraham with. Come into this treaty. Let's cut up the animals. And if you don't keep your word, if you don't keep your side of things, we're going to cut you. We're going to cut you in two. You're going to be torn in two. The whole idea of this arrangement, and even with God here, is, look, I am going to keep my word to you. And if I don't, I will be torn in two. Abraham was going to have to say, I know my part of this. And if I don't keep my word with you, I will be torn in two. Do you see how that's intense? It's a very bloody scene here. Abraham is even, it's so long in this heat of the of this time, he has to drive away birds that are coming down and trying to eat these dead animals that have been cut in half. Can you imagine the smells? This is a very intense scene. Abraham knows exactly what is going on. He is getting into a covenant with God Almighty that is going to require a lot. But what happens right after the animals? He drives away the animals. Look at verse 12. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham. And behold, a dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. God puts him into sleep. God puts Abraham asleep, a deep sleep. I mean, this sleep, I love the imagery in this passage. It gets really, really clear. He says, this great darkness falls upon Abraham. Moses is writing and getting really clear. This is a deep sleep. And this covenant is going to be made with Abraham. God is going to make a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham will not be a part of it. He will be asleep. God will be the only one who walks through these animals. You see, what had to be said by both sides was, I will keep my end. I will keep my word to you, or I will be torn in two. And the other would say, I will keep my end of this word, or I will be torn in two. God would not allow Abraham to say that. God would say both parts of that. I will keep my word to you. And even if you do not keep your word with me, I will be torn into two like these animals. This is a covenant. This is the picture of the Bible that we see how God loves us. This is how God can invite us into a relationship with him, is because he will own sin. He is going to take it both seriously and condemn it and destroy it, and he's going to forgive. I mean, it is an amazing thing that is going on here. And in verse 17, we get to see the covenant happen. And it is an amazing scene. It says, when the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, in the land of the Canaanites and the Kenizzites and the Kadamites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaim and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. God enters into this covenant. I love the picture. Into the dark, into this great and dreadful darkness, enters God. And we can see him, which is amazing in and of itself. What do we see? A smoking fire pot. Just imagine that, walking through these animals, this smoke and a flaming torch. They walk through these animals, smoke and fire, the burning God, the consuming fire. He enters into this covenant with Abram, and Abraham is asleep. He is on the side. He walks through this bloody covenant alone. this smoking fire pot, this flaming torch, and he says, I will be faithful even when you are not. I will be torn in two if I do not keep my word towards you, if I do not keep my promise to you. I will be torn in two if you do not keep your word to me. And one day, that happened. He was torn in two because we did not keep our covenant with our great God. It was a day like that day. It was a day of dreadful and great darkness. It was a day outside. The city of Jerusalem. And darkness fell upon the earth. And there, in the midst of that darkness, was Abraham's son. It was Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Abraham. The smoking fire pot and the flaming torch. He was being torn in two on that cross. God was fixing everything. By the tearing apart of him, he was healing us. You see, our sin demanded a response. The hatred, the destruction, the abuse, our motives, all the evil that is in us and in our world demanded a response. And God, in this story of Abraham, was telling you what he was going to do one day. Abraham, I am entering into this relationship where I will be torn in two if I do not keep my promise, and I will be torn in two if you do not keep your promise. And it's amazing. In Jesus Christ, we see this happen. And Jesus is just so amazing. It's interesting. Jesus is Abraham's son. Jesus is fully God, fully man, and he is keeping the Abrahamic covenant. It is truly in him that all nations on this earth, all families in this earth will be blessed in Abraham's son, in his heir, in his seed. It is Abraham, the one that right immediately after this covenant that God makes with him, he goes off and messes up again. He again does the same thing with his wife, with another leader in power, and says, yeah, this is my sister again. He is not faithful to this promise that God has made to him, but is Abraham's son that will be faithful. It is Jesus Christ who has loved us. Why did he do this for us? Why did he allow the darkness to fall upon him? The one who was fully man and fully God, who would not be asleep on that cross, but fully aware of what was happening. Because the unbelievable is true. He loves you. He always has. The hardest thing to see in this world is reality. It's the hardest thing to see and to know. You are loved. It is the hardest thing for you to believe. Jesus Christ, on his cross, he cries out for you to see it. See reality. See that I care about every hurt, every pain, every shame that you have faced, every anxiety, every care, every weight that has been put upon you. I care and I'm going to take it. The unbelievable is true. He offers you a relationship with himself. He offers a covenant relationship. This covenant relationship that says, I'm going to keep my end of the word, and I'm even going to keep your end of the word. How awesome a relationship is that? You can never get out of this covenant because I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep your end, and I'm going to keep my end. I am the faithful God. And 2 Timothy 2, I think pondering some of these things, Paul says this. I don't have it on the slide, but it's 2 Timothy 2. He says, this saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Well, listen to this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. That smoking fire pot and that flaming torch cannot deny himself. He will keep, he will always be faithful to you, even in your faithlessness. This morning, I have to ask you this question. Do you believe? Verse 6, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Do you believe that God the Father sent his one and only Son so that in believing in him, you might not perish, but have eternal life? Do you believe that God is always moving towards you, and in moving towards you, he is always doing so kindly? He's doing it with great love. I mean, that's basically the story of the whole Bible, is God getting closer to us. Jesus comes, and now he's here. And then he says, no, I'm going to go away, but this is better because I'm going to send my spirit to live where? In you. He's only getting closer to us for those who believe. He is loving you. He's inviting us into a reality where we see the truth. What is the truth for us? God is for you. He is not against you. He is with you. He loves you. In his Son, in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, because what he did on that cross, he has adopted you. He has set you free. He has made you his. Do you believe that? This is covenantal language. This is why all through the Bible, there's a lot of possessive pronouns about God. This is why you can say God is my God. God is our Father. We can like grab hold of that reality because God has covenanted with us. It is true. It will never not be true because of Jesus Christ. Do you believe? Reminder, you should read the story of Abraham because it will show you the story of someone that needed to be reminded of this all the time. God had to keep reminding Abraham about his covenant with him. This is life. This is why we get together as a covenant people, because you're not going to always believe these things. After God shows him all the stars in the sky, Sarah and Abraham work out a plan. You know what? I've got this maidservant. Why don't you just have a baby through her? Was he like really believing God in that moment? No. He's failing. But you know who didn't remain faithful with Abraham? God did. Abraham's always kind of messing up. And you know what? That's our story. But we are in a safe place because of God's covenant with us. And this moves us to long to walk with our God, to know him, to continue walking after him, and to basically put ourselves in covenant community where we try to help one another see that reality. This is why we meet in groups. This is why we pray. This is why we do what we do as a church, is we want you to see reality, that God is for you, that he has taken your sin on his son, Jesus Christ, that he has put it as far as the east is from the west. He is doing something in our hearts greater than what we can imagine. And this morning, we ask you to believe that. Let me ask you this. How does this work out? How does this walk out every day of our lives? If God is for us in this way, one is we need to be thankful. Thanksgiving is a response to this sermon. I'm so thankful that God walked down that covenant aisle by himself. Aren't you? I know my sin, and a covenant invites me to know the depth of my sin, because I can then know how much God's loved me, because he took all that from me, and he wants to take all that off of you. If you have shame today, let me offer you this. There is a God who's not embarrassed by you. If you have anxieties, there is a God who offers you a relationship, which is the safest place you can be, is with him. If you're a person that feels like you got to control, there's these fears that are running your life, God offers you a way to rest, to breathe, that he is in control. God comes to you, each and every one of us, in a different way this morning. This covenant God says, know this, I am for you. I will keep my end of the word, and I will keep your end of the deal. Look at Jesus Christ. Look at him. Know my love for you. Let's be thankful. Let's apply that to who we are. And then let's try to walk like in covenant together. I said this last week, but I think seeing our covenant God allows us to be like, I want to walk like that in the world. I want to try to be for others, like the way God is for others. Let's try to be that to one another in these coming months and this year. Let's pray. God, I'm so thankful that this morning you've just brought life to me. I'm so glad that you have accepted me, that you have loved me, that you remind me that your covenant is with me and that you will never leave, never forsake. God, I pray that this morning that you would remind each and every one of us these realities, that because of who you are, because of what you have accomplished in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can know these realities, that we are loved and that we are accepted. God, I pray this morning, would you help us respond in a way that would magnify and lift you up? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.